what he values most is confidence in the quarterback. I think Mike Tomlin and Bill's relationship, just watching it from afar, it was more so about trusting Ben, that Ben was more than capable of doing everything that the team needed on offense to be successful. And, you know, he gave him free rein. And that's because Ben was a great quarterback. Ben was exceptional. Like, to me, first ballot Hall of Famer all day. I mean,
Michael Vick there, talking about Big Ben Roethlisberger, first ballot Hall of Famer, in Michael Vick's opinion, which I don't think is controversial at all. Yet, you click on the video on the social media, Dorn, and a lot of people battling back against Mike Vick saying Ben Roethlisberger, not a first ballot Hall of Famer, which I think is real dumb. I think it's because a lot of people don't like Ben.
And how is he not a first ballot Hall? What are we doing?
Fifth all-time in passing yards, Ben Roethlisberger. He is eighth all-time in passing touchdowns. So by those two metrics, a top 10 quarterback of all time. Only 13 QBs in the history of this tremendous sport, Doran, have won multiple championships. Ben is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I've been critical of Ben, particularly at the end, and some of the off-the-field stuff that we all don't need to Google. We all know we live here. But Ben the player? If you don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, I think you're willfully ignorant or you're stupid. And I'm probably preaching to the choir. I'm guessing a lot of the people who were commenting on that social media post aren't people who watched him every game, aren't Pittsburgh people. But, like,
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, what are we looking at here?
The reason I bring it up is seven Steelers were nominated for the Hall of Fame class 2025. We're like early on, preliminary. Kicker Gary Anderson, linebacker James Ferrier, nose tackle Casey Hampton, linebacker James Harrison, fullback John Coombe, linebacker Mike Vrabel, and receiver Hines Ward. And Ben will be eligible real quick, and I would be shocked if he's not a first ballot guy.
I don't even think it's a discussion.
It's really.
It's starting to rub me the wrong way. What are the angles to him not being it?
I don't know that there is a single angle, and he will be voted in immediately. Like, no one ever has these conversations about a dude like Eli Manning.
No.
And they should, more than Ben, but Eli should be a first ballot guy. And I mean, just watching Eli play, there were days where you'd watch him and go, that guy's not a Hall of Famer. Like, he just doesn't have the look. Like, is he one of the best of all time, Eli Manning? You watch him? No, not so much, but the counting stats are there. Top 10 in yards, top 10, 10th in both, actually, in touchdowns. And in touchdowns. So Eli, if he's going to be a first ballot guy, for my money, Ben, absolutely a first ballot guy. But I think about these dudes who were nominated yesterday, and I think that's where the real conversation is. And I think you can make arguments for all of them. Like, James Ferrier was second in Defensive Player of the Year in 2004. He was a hell of a player, but he's not a Hall of Famer to me.
No.
Casey Hampton's not a Hall of Famer to me. Hines Ward and James Harrison are where the conversations are interesting.
Correct.
I think.
That's the two that we're going to, that you could debate about.
Right. And James Harrison, when he was at his absolute apex, he won a Defensive Player of the Year. Like, he didn't get to do it for long enough because he bounced around so much earlier on in his career, and then he's sitting behind Joey Porter. But for a, 4 or 5 year period, James Harrison was one of, and for 1 year, was the best defensive player in football. I don't know what to do with him because the longevity wasn't there of tremendous greatness. He also had maybe the best play in Super Bowl history.
Well, for James Harrison, I look at this. Okay, you have a Defensive Player of the Year under your belt, and you also have a Super Bowl under your belt. But if I am on the committee, like, I am looking at other things like within the football. And for me, like, how does a player affect the game? And James Harrison was one of the most feared players for almost a decade plus. Like around the league, every single Sunday, NFL game is on TV, you're flipping around. If you ask other players, and they had to play the Steelers, who scares you on the defense? They're not saying Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu was great. But who scares you? James Harrison. He is a Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Famer for those three reasons that I said. Now, the stats, like you said, the longevity, that's one thing. But the Super Bowl is the biggest. The Defensive Player of the Year is big. and he changed the game.
He did change
the game.
I think it was Muhammad Massaquoi. He ripped his head off, and then bang, defense over. No more defense. Right. Not playing defense anymore.
The most feared player in his generation.
He is on the short list for scariest player of all time.
Yes.
Of all time.
Yes.
And it does go beyond the stats for that. Now, if I am going to bring up some stats, he had 3 interceptions in his entire career in the regular season and had one of the great plays on an interception in Super Bowl history. I don't know that anybody bats an eye, blinks, thinks twice about it if James Harrison's the Super Bowl MVP that year.
No.
Like, oh, you could have given it to Ben. You gave it to Santonio. You absolutely could have given it to James Harrison. And we have these conversations about T.J. Watt. Where does he fit in the pantheon of the all-time great Steelers? And people are quick to point out he hadn't won a playoff game. Okay, well, this guy won the Super Bowl.
Right.
I have a hard time. So when I think Hall of Fame, you can get compilers in there, like the Frank Gores eventually, who just were around for so long.
Right.
Right. The numbers are just going to be there. But at the time when you played, and if you did it for multiple years, were you one of truly the best?
Right.
That's the conversation that you're talking about with James Harrison.
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't win defensive player of the year by not being special.
Right.
And say what you will about Myles Garrett, he's special. And he had a great year last season. I think it should have gone to T.J. Watt, but that's another thing. Then you flip it over to Hines. And it's interesting because I don't view Hines that way. But Hines in the Super Bowl MVP, unbelievably good in the clutch. And Hines Ward, like James Harrison, left his imprint on the game because the game was never played the same way. They had
changed
to make
the
a
game.
Rule. Yes. He broke Keith Rivers' jaw on a crackback, and they say, we're not doing that anymore. And so Mel Blunt, same thing. Like, I feel like if rules change because of you, and you have counting stats, and you are undeniably very, very good, if not great.
And you have Super Bowls.
Yes.
Yes, you go in. But you also, so whenever it does narrow down, and say, like, it's narrowed down to the final list, whatever that is, who are they going against?
Right.
And does that player have a little bit more that you could say can't make it in this year?
Right.
Like Hines Ward, like last year, you're going against Andre Johnson. Even the year before, Calvin Johnson. Like, you're not going to take that mantle from them.
Right, because who do you want on your team? Everyone wants Hines Ward on your team. Are you picking him before Megatron?
No.
You picking him before Andre Johnson? No.
I mean, how many outside backers are going to be on that list that you wouldn't pick James Harrison over?
Right.
Or that you would pick James Harrison over? That's going to be the question. Because I don't know if there's many. I haven't really seen the list. I know the Steelers players. But let's see the outside backers. If you're going to vote one in, that you would legitimately pick over James Harrison.
I think about that too, man, like in the prime,
in their prime, at their apex. Right.
And Joey Porter, I think people forget about this. Joey Porter went to Miami and had 17 sacks when he went to Miami. Like, the Steelers for so long had been the team that they're going to get rid of players when they feel like they're cooked, and they did it with Troy, and they did it with James Harrison, actually, and then he retired. He went to the Bengals, then he retired, then he came back. But Joey Porter had 17 sacks. That guy could still really obviously play.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved on from him because of James Harrison. Like, we're going to take James Harrison over a heartbeat guy on our team. They shot me in Denver. They're going to take him over that guy? That means something to me, too.
Like, who had a better career, James Harrison or Kevin Green?
Oh, man.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. I met him once at Steelers camp. What a character.
Mm-hmm.
What a personality.
Yeah, good guy. Was a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Hall of Famer, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, won a Super... Wait, no, did he win a Super Bowl? No, he didn't.
Defensive Player of the Year in 1996. Didn't win a Super Bowl.
3 first-team All-Pros.
So, as a Steeler, James Harrison was better. I mean, if you're going counting stats, and it's not all about that. But 12.5 sacks, 14 sacks, 9 sacks. James Harrison in his prime, 16, 10, 10.5. That's one thing that is going to hurt James is that he had only 3 years with double-digit sacks. It was also a different game.
Different game.
Totally different game. And it changed because of him.
Yeah.
I wonder where Steelers fans come down on this. Probably pro these guys getting in.
Of course.
At 412-928-9370. You're still hot over the Ben thing, I can tell.
I just don't even know why it's even a discussion. It's ridiculous.
Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Key and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Doran, we usually give our Steelers predictions on Friday. I'm going to give mine next because it hit me. Something that Bostic said got my mind juggling around. It is 9:22, time to get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more. You getting anything meat-wise going this weekend, Doran?
Probably not. I don't have time.
Too far ahead?
Yep.
Yeah. I think I'm going to boil some brats and beer.
Are you?
This weekend, yeah. Throw them on the grill.
Watch,
see how
a little,
it goes.
West Virginia, Kansas?
No, I'm going to do it on Sunday.
Okay.
I think I'm going to, from this point forward, the rest of the year, I don't want anything in my stomach during West Virginia games.
Might throw up.
Yeah. I'd rather throw up bile one time than brats a dozen times.
Okay.
But one thing is for certain, it'll make me want to throw up. Mm-hmm. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Mike Tomlin talked ad nauseum about these Chargers on Tuesday. And, you know, he makes every team sound like the 1985 Bears. In this case, you had a battle of two undefeated teams coming up in here. But I think the Steelers are going to win this game. I feel really good about that right now. Even if Justin Herbert plays, he was on the injury report yesterday, did not practice, in fact, yesterday. Even if he plays, even if he's 100%, this to me just feels like the game, a game the Steelers win. And I had that feeling last year when the Browns came to town in week two. And the reason I feel this way is because of something Bostic brought up, that it's Jim Harbaugh, it's Greg Roman, it's a lot of that Ravens staff.
Yeah.
It's an AFC North outfit. And Mike Tomlin, hey, circumstances are what? He's owned the Ravens 7 out of 8 times. 5-1 versus the division last year. This might be a team from Los Angeles. This is a team that wants to play AFC North football. And Mike Tomlin just finds a way to win these games. Like, they don't scare me at all. Like, it's going to be 9-6. I'll take the team with the better defense 10 times out of 10.
So you're trying to say that we find out nothing more about Justin Fields?
I think we find out nothing more about the Steelers.
Yeah.
In this game. Just my opinion. But I think it looks an awful lot like the last two. And I think when the talking heads and national TV get on their bully pulpit, they're going to be saying after this game, well, are the Chargers really that good? Are the Steelers really that good? Like, the Atlanta win, that doesn't seem to have swayed anybody's opinion. They go up into Philadelphia, tough place to play, win that game, and you still have the conversations, are the Steelers good? I think we walk out of this game going,
don't know.
Yeah, they're 3-0, and that's great. But apart from that, did we learn anything new? I don't think so.
I think they cut it loose a little bit. I think they go opposite. I think that each side knows that they want to play this way, and it's going to become a chess game. Like, okay, well, you think we're going to play this way, and then we're just going to open it up, and you're not going to be prepared for it. That's what I think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be more points than I think people realize in this game.
We talking 36 or more?
Yes.
We're talking over?
Yep.
Over football?
Yep.
In this economy at Acrisure Stadium?
I think so. I know that's crazy. I mean, not crazy, but it's like, it's not what the norm is, what everybody's thinking. I think it's going to be a chess match.
Well, we talked about the dam breaking and George Pickens' comments earlier. Like, they weren't that far away from putting up more points in the last game. They weren't that far away from putting up more points in the first game. Now, you score one touchdown, you're looking at a 23 points on the board, which for them, these last few years, that looks pretty good. So you think the Steelers would be more likely to push the envelope than the Chargers?
I think both.
Both.
I think they're both going to be like, you're not going to, we know what you're going to do, and we're going to try to stop that. Nope, this is actually what we're going to do. And I think they both, we just said, you said in the first hour of the show that these two coaches are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to try to outthink each other. Think that one thing, one coach is going to think that they're going to do one thing and then the opposite, and they're both going to go opposite, and it's going to be a match. It's going to be a shootout.
A shootout?
Not a crazy one, but it's going to be more than
Not 38-34.
No.
But like 24-21?
Close. 24-17-ish. Okay. So yeah, that's 30. Yeah.
That'd be over. Yeah. That'd be over.
24-17.
Generally, you get this glint in your eye, and with a lot of stuff, but particularly football things, like y'all might think that it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. I'm telling you, it could be both. You just get that look. You got that look in your eye right now.
Because that's what I would do. Like, everybody knows that we want to play defense and run the football, and we're back home for the first time. Yeah, that's the way that we played on the road. Because we had a young offensive line. We had our backup quarterback that was on a short week. The first week, the second week, it was like, okay, let's go just fly to Denver. And with the altitude, hostile environment, let's just go win that football game. And then we get back in our comfort zone, and it's like, okay, let's cut it loose a little bit so we can figure some things out. We have some things to figure out because Russ is getting healthier, and we're going to have to make a decision soon. So we want to make sure that we know what the right decision is whenever, you know, we head into the rest of the season. Let's make sure we make the right decision whenever Russ does get healthy next week, probably.
Yeah, you want to be armed with all the information possible.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of just saying, okay, we're 3-0, and we squirted by with 3-1 score wins.
What do you learn?
Yeah.
Need to learn something soon, and now you're back home. It's a perfect time to do it.
Even if you go 3-0 and you don't do what you're suggesting, you could say, we now have confidence that we can win games with our backup quarterback. But if we're going to win, we're going with Russell Wilson. You need to see something. I can see it your way too, man. I really can. Like, we know both coaches are probably going into this thinking, all right, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm thinking, I'm picking up what you're putting down. If I'm Mike Tomlin, I go, what do they not want to do? They don't have any receivers.
Right.
They might trust Justin Herbert. He's not 100%. They want to run the football. Let's make him come back. Let's make him not run the football.
Right.
Hey, Joe Alt, you're a big deal. You want Notre Dame? You want a piece of you want a little piece of TJ Watt? Pass sets. Let's see how this goes. I could see Jim Harbaugh. I could see Jim Harbaugh doing it less. Which is crazy because we haven't seen the Steelers open things up for a good long while now, these last few years.
I'm not saying like open up right. Like Kansas City or high powered offense. I'm saying more than I think everybody is thinking. Just to me, it feels like a really good opportunity to do that because you need some answers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do it against a good defense too, you will get a lot of answers about your quarterback, about your offense, your offensive line, because they would have to hold up with the pass rush. Like you would get a lot of answers. And I keep saying this, like not that you want to lose, but you can afford a loss. You can't afford a loss. Nobody wants to lose, but you are 2-0 and the teams around you aren't, as you know, their record isn't as good as yours right now.
Yeah, and we have talked about this September football where it doesn't look as good. You know, part of that is, in my opinion, okay, yeah, they're not playing a lot of guys, and so that's going to lead to bad, not buttoned up football. It's also teams are trying to figure out who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And as you try to figure out who you are, you're not going to be a finished product. And so, yeah, other teams around the league, like we've seen it with the Patriots before in the past, like September doesn't look quite as good. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to see what works, what doesn't work, what fits our personnel, what doesn't fit our personnel, and all of a sudden, once they figure it out, as they start rolling, hey, here's who we are. And so they've done that. Yeah, you can afford a loss. You don't want one.
No, you don't want one, but, I mean, if you try to go a different direction and cut it loose a little bit, and you do lose, it's like, hey, well, at least we learned that, you know, we got to stick to our guns a little bit more.
We have to play that certain way. You know, Doug talked about it, too, with the defense. Like, just because you've got a great defense doesn't mean you have to put everything on the defense. You can be great in different ways. You can win a 24-17 game and your defense gives up those three scores, yet it finds a way to make the plays in the key moments. I mean, we saw it with Pitt on Saturday. You know, I don't think Pitt's defense played great. They got the 3-and-out they needed. What has Pat Narduzzi's defense always done? They find a way to get pressure on the quarterback. Not great all game. Big moment. Okay, now this defense makes a play. You're allowed to do that too. We talked about the dam breaking and the positive connotation that George Pickens was shooting for. Could the dam maybe break the other way? We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. Schedule a heart screening today. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. Show flying by. Not quite to the point where I thought it was the 50-minute mark, but show is flying by. We'll have our social media's biggest loser segment coming up to wrap up the show before we hand things off to Starkey. Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. We talked earlier in the show, Doran, about George Pickens saying that the dam is already breaking, that they feel like this Steelers offense is going to break out. Now, we said that that's all relative, like breakout. We're not talking about Saints going down, putting up 44 points. I agree with that. Like, we both agree with that. Like, they could be on their way. We've seen some positive things. We've seen the penalties get in their way. I do think you could make the argument that it's not, though. It's not the argument that I agree with. But, you know, they have had those snap issues, too. And, like, they might be 1-1 right now. If that first snap winds up on the ground and the Falcons jump on, they have been fortuitous. You had a snap issue in this last game, too. Now, you only have one touchdown as well. So all those things, if you're a person that says the dam could break but go the other way,
right.
I can see it. I just view it the other way.
Yeah, I can see it, too. Yeah. I mean, but that's football.
Right, isn't it? That's football. Isn't that the way it is?
Yeah. I mean, if you miss those opportunities, those negative opportunities, and you win, like the record reflects, but then you can go back. It's a better chance of you going back and fixing those while you win than if you lose and have to fix those. And they're in the opposite. They're in the, hey, we have to fix those issues and we have a 2-0 record.
Yes.
That's a good place to be. And that makes me think that, okay, like if you do fix those, the dam could break.
Well, and the things that they need to fix aren't, I think, roster related or anything like that. That would be the issue. Like, we know they have a hole at wide receiver number 2 before everyone starts blowing me up. Yes, that's roster related. That's not going to get any better, at least anytime soon. Maybe Roman Wilson comes back and they give him reps. I just don't really see that happening either. But we're talking about penalties. We're talking about, like, fumbled snaps. Like, those are things you could work on. Those are things you can rep. Like, you're going to have the referees here. Whether that helps or not, I don't know. But the more football you play, you would figure they would clean that up.
Yeah, but, like, the things that you could say that would be negative that aren't, though, is what we brought up earlier. Like, if there are penalties and they are missed throws on big plays, and you're missing those and there were penalties, that's tough. But you're connecting and there were penalties. I get that part that they were brought back. But you're connecting on those big plays. That's very significant. I don't think people realize how significant that the fact that there were penalties, I get it. But the fact that you were connecting on those, that shows me that, you know, you're in a decent place. Like, scratch those penalties away, different football team we're talking about.
Man.
You're connecting.
And I think the who or whom?
More sentences. I need to hear it.
We need to come out there. Yeah. Let's just say, the guy that is the recipient of the football matters a ton, too, that they did connect on those.
Yes.
You had George Pickens on the non-push-off. You had George Pickens on that Broderick Jones hold. So while his statistics weren't good in the last game, I would imagine that Pickens has to feel involved.
Yes.
Which is huge. Like if on either of those plays, they both got wiped out. If you didn't connect, to your point, Doran, you might have George Pickens percolating underneath right now going, man, I'm still, what's different than last year?
Mm-hmm.
It feels exactly the same.
If they were like underthrows or missed throws, like that's bad.
Yes.
You know, but they were on the money.
Yes.
That's very good. That will play out at some point. Those will be good plays at some point. It's only a matter of time. That always happens.
Yes.
If you're that close and there's like little things that are bringing you back, it's going to flip at some point.
He throws a hell of a deep ball.
Uh-huh.
He's different than Russ, but he throws a hell of a deep ball. And if I'm George Pickens, I would feel like the dam is breaking because I've made plays with a quarterback, and I know he can do it. You don't just forget about that stuff. And Pony and Mueller had Aditi on yesterday, and Mueller asked Aditi if she was watching Broderick Jones on the sideline. And she said, no, I was watching George Pickens. And she talked about how a bunch of players, offense and defense, came over and were like patting George Pickens on the shoulders, but there was no blow up. He didn't look mad or anything like that. But they all kind of know that he could pop off at any minute, but he didn't. Why? Because even though the stats aren't there, you don't forget about, oh man, my quarterback just ran, sprints to his right, and puts the ball in my breadbasket. Like that matters. Okay, I'm going to get open. He's going to get me the ball. Sometimes bleep happens and stuff gets called back, but I'm getting the ball.
Yep.
And we talked about him this offseason. A, you need the production, and B, you need the attitude. Well, one thing leads to the other. He got production in the game, even if the box score didn't indicate it.
Mm-hmm.
And Thorne, I feel better about George Pickens than I have at any point in George Pickens' career.
Me too.
He looks like, he just looks like a better player. And I think he's being utilized correctly, too.
I think he's being coached right, too.
Yeah.
I think that his position coach, Zach Azani, and Arthur Smith, I think they understand the task at hand with him. You get somebody like that that is ultra talented. It's like, and that's what Arthur Smith is doing with Justin Fields as well. You got some ultra talented guys that just need some coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're doing a decent job with both of them. And, you know, and we want to see more from Justin Fields. I get that. But, you know, he's turning Justin Fields into a quarterback. Slowly. I know people want more, but, you know, Justin Fields, like, if you watch some of his film in Chicago, it wasn't, he was just out there being an athlete and just tossing the ball up and not even thinking. Now he's becoming that smart, methodical quarterback. Let's see if that can meld well with his actual talent. And you're seeing that with George. George is running different routes. George is lining up in different places. George is getting open, and they're both doing it together. That's so significant that if this game those do hit and there isn't penalties, it's hard to go to Russell Wilson whenever he's healthy.
It would be, yeah. And you used the phrase yesterday, I think it was perfectly said, about this very thing with Justin Fields. Break him down to build him back up.
Yep.
We had Caboli on earlier in the week. I don't know that we've learned anything about Justin Fields. I probably shouldn't say in that tone. We love Mark. He's an expert. He's great. Pat McAfee expert. But I've learned that he can be a guy that plays within himself and doesn't turn it over. We knew the deep ball stuff was there. We knew the spectacular was there. I didn't know that the spectacular could exist without him putting the ball in harm's way and through a couple of games he has. And we would be having a different conversation if the Steelers would have had over 300 yards in the first game and might have put more points on the board if that push-off never happened.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, certainly, I think the momentum they built on that drive, you were at the one-yard line. You were in the process of going 99 yards. You're about to break their back, and that penalty calls it back. Like, I think they probably would have scored, and we'd be sitting here today saying, Russ, you're in big trouble, man. And the coaches, you know this better than anybody. So I would imagine, and this is an educated guess from my standpoint, like they probably break down the rest of that play, too, when they're doing the film work. Like, just because Broderick Jones held doesn't mean they don't look at the rest of the stuff and evaluate that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You check out everything. And even the extending the play with Fields. Like, you think about that. Like, how he – that's his game. Like, getting out in the pocket. It's like, okay, we get a clean up, obviously, the hold. But that's where Justin Iswell is really good, is extending and then looking, keeping his eyes down the field and then finding targets. And, you know, you look at even the other routes on the backside, like if they could pop open, or you could just change the routes on the backside, say you have that, and maybe you throw the throwback on the backside to Van Jefferson. Wouldn't that be crazy? You know, he rolls to the right, extends, and then Van Jefferson's running, you know, an over route, then he bends it back, and there you go. There's your number two receiver.
Van Jefferson.
Yep.
The thing about Van that he is a fine deep threat. They just haven't utilized him that way, but then again, they haven't really tried to utilize him that way. I think it's coming. I think it's all coming together.
Me too.
All right, coming up next, a Dan Moore stat that made me go, ooh. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. A quick statistic for Dan Moore Jr. Doran, one of just 9 offensive tackles who allowed one pressure or less through 2 games.
Hmm.
Not enough praise is being heaped on him.
Right.
I know, and I want to see Broderick Jones do well, but like, a guy got better. A guy's holding out his spot. Good for him. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. As for social media's biggest loser, this just came across the timeline. Mel Kiper said that 2 high safety should be outlawed.
What
is this? The first year they're doing 2 high safeties?
What's going on? Like,
what kind of take is that?
It's just weird.
Like, what? The Steelers of the 70s ran 2 high safeties. Yeah.
What is he talking about?
They ran Tampa 2 before it was cool. I mean, they didn't run the Tampa 2.
Why the hell is Mel Kiper on ESPN right now? Why is he looking at the 2025 draft? Why are they getting his opinion about defense?
That's a great question.
Who the hell gives a you know what?
That's a great question. Tell me, you know what? Tell me about Eli Holstein. I want the Mel Kiper Eli Holstein draft machine. 2 high safeties? We're outlawed? What is going on? Just stupid. That's really dumb.
What?
Doran, tomorrow, it's Friday already.
Yes.
We got football to break down.
Yes, we do.
And we will do just that, and we will have fun starting at 5:40 a.m. with Nicholas Harry Callis. Up next, Starkey Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high 81.